In the name of the Triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us quiet this morning to begin our services in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Holy and righteous God, our dear Heavenly Father, we wish to bring our humble thanks unto you, that your Son, through your Son, he has done the work and prepared and opened a way to heaven for us pardoned sinners today. We thank you, dear Father, that you have preserved us to this day as your grace children. We pray unto you, dear Father, that you, even in the coming days, that you would preserve us in your fold. Protect us in faith, dear Father. You know the events that have taken place and will take place in our lives and in our countries. Today, especially, dear Father, as we remember the events of September 11th, 2001, 15 years ago today. It was a day when violent acts were committed against this country, against innocent people. We pray, dear Father, that you would give us the right heart, the right mind, to remove bitterness and hatred from us. Remind us to love our enemies according to your word. Dear Father, we humbly ask of you that you would continue to guard this homeland that you gave unto us. Grant all of our leaders that they would humbly seek your counsel and serve you in godly fear. Bless and shield our homes, our families and our children, our loved ones far and near. Dear Heavenly Father, bless and protect the men and women of our armed forces who are serving this country. Protect them also who are in harm's way, in faraway, dangerous places. Dear Father, we pray unto you for wisdom to always remember that all foundations made by man are faulty, crumbling. But the foundation that you have laid is our only place of security. Grant that your kingdom's gospel would always be heard in our beloved country, that our countrymen and all of your created people, even our enemies, would turn to you and believe the forgiveness of sins. Remind us, dear Father, that here we have not a continuing city, but that you one day would bring us to that eternal city beyond the boundary of time, where pains, doubts, dangers no longer exist, but where we can sing and praise you forevermore. Amen. We also have a wedding prayer this morning, so let us pray. Kaisa Ruth Hannes and David Michael Muhonen will be joined in holy matrimony on September 24th, 2016 at the Kokedo Listadion Lutheran Church. Let us pray on their behalf. God, thou who hast established marriage, bless this covenant and grant this couple one-mindedness and love to make their home a Christian home. Amen. For our text this morning, I thought I would read the gospel text that is set aside for this Sunday, and it is recorded in the 7th chapter of Luke, beginning from its 11th verse through verse 16. We read these words in Jesus' name. And it came to pass the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, that and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, That a great prophet is risen up among us, that God hath visited his people. Amen. As we begin to go through this text that we heard read, we pray to our Heavenly Father that He would grant us the words that we need for this day, for our personal life of faith, that He would open our hearts to receive His Word. I mentioned to the Sunday school students this morning of how they would, even decades later in their lives, they would remember their days of Sunday school. and that they would remember the teaching that is done there at home by their parents, by their teachers in Sunday school, and what they have heard in services. And I related a story to them of a friend of mine in Sweden who went on a mission trip to southern Sweden to speak the word of God to the few believers that are there. And they noticed that there was an elderly couple that also came there, a couple they had never seen before. He was guessing that they were in their 80s. And as the services were done, they went to speak to them. And this elderly man, who they had never met before, how he said that when he was a little boy, he heard a message. He heard words that are the same as what he just heard in the sermon. So at some point, when he was a little boy, he heard a familiar voice, and he wanted to believe that way again. His heart found comfort in the Word of God, and he was longing for peace. He repented and became a child of God. So that is the prayer that we have as God's children, that we would, in our hearts, we would long for the Word of God, for our own personal life of faith. It brings us peace and it brings us comfort. In the time that Jesus did his public ministry, we have read many accounts in the Bible of the many miracles that Jesus did throughout different villages that he traveled through. And he did all those miracles with the power of God. And we know that Jesus was God. And certainly one of the reasons for those miracles was to stop sin-fallen mankind to ponder the matters of everlasting life, the way that they were presently traveling, and there were people that were so close in a physical sense to Jesus that God was within reach, literally. The call to the kingdom of God was very close. Also in the time of Noah, when he was building the ark, the call to the kingdom of God went forth, and the Spirit of God was only, in some cases, only few feet away from those that were traveling in the darkness of unbelief. And with the, by the miracles that Jesus did, God shows His power through the extraordinary things that only God can do. It is not possible for man, through man, to do what Jesus did. And this time in our text, these seemingly impossible things were done when there was a funeral that was taking place. And Jesus wanted to stop also them and to speak to them and call them into the kingdom of God. Our text says that there was a day when Jesus went into a city called Nain, and many of His disciples were following Him, and along with His disciples there was a great throng of people. They were following wherever Jesus went. And when He was coming close to that city, to the gate of that city, there was a dead man that was being carried. And this dead man was the only son in this family. And we can assume that right after the casket, there was the family members. In this case, it was only the mother of this young man that was leading this group. This young man's father had died. The text doesn't reveal unto us if he had any other sisters, but he was the only boy in the family. And now this mother had lost her only son. So Jesus came to this village. Just as He was entering into this little village and He met this funeral procession and this young man had died, the Bible doesn't say how this man had died. And this was something that every person to this day they have faced or will face. It's a time when they will die a physical death. When we die physically, everything physical in us will die. It will cease to exist, and we will be laid into the ground. And we have seen that in our community, and we will continue to see that. And when one is being lowered into the earth, at that point there is nothing living that is left in that body. The spirit has gone, and the body will return to dust. In the book of Genesis, it explains how God created man. He created man from dust. From the dust of the earth, He created man. And through the fall of man, we are destined to die a physical death. And we will be lowered into the ground, and we will once again, we will turn into dust. As I mentioned, everything that is lowered into the earth will be, there will be no life. At the point of death, the spirit separates from the body. Whether it is the spirit of God or an unclean spirit, it will be separated from the physical body. There is a portion, if we would keep going a little further in the Gospel of Luke, it's either in the 15th or 16th chapter of Luke, where a rich man died and a child of God also died. The name of this child of God was Lazarus. I'm going to see if I can find that portion. 16th chapter of Luke. There was a certain rich man who died. And Lazarus also died. And it says here that Lazarus was carried by the angel into the bosom of Abraham. So at the point of Lazarus' death, there was complete rest and peace. But that person, that rich man who had died in unbelief, he also died. And the text says that he was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being tormented. He was not resting easy by any means. But Lazarus, when he died in faith, was completely at ease. Every split second from the time his physical body died, he was at peace. He was resting. He was very comfortable. This is a very comforting thought. In the midst of sorrow and despair and great amount of grief, when a loved one dies, is to know that the one who died is experiencing the complete peace, comfort, and rest of God. In our text, as I mentioned, this young man who died was the son, the only son, to a widow. And when I thought about, when we think about being in her situation, it is very possible that at the time she thought that whatever she had in life, whatever she was holding dear, everything she had left is now gone. A very difficult day for her, to say the least, when all that she had left is now gone. Jesus then comes into this city. He knows what has taken place. And just as he is coming into the city, he can see what had taken place. And our text said that when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, "Weep not." And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. This was a miracle that did happen. It is not a parable, but this actually did take place all those years ago. God wanted to stop and remind those that are yet walking in the darkness of unbelief. The Bible portion says that there was a great deal of people that were following Jesus, and also a great amount of people that were in this group that were following this funeral procession. So God wanted to stop to remind them of their unbelief, of the road that they were traveling, that they needed the Son of God in their lives. Jesus not only needed to be in that picture, but they needed to believe in Jesus. Jesus touched this carrier, or this frame that was holding the casket wherein this young man was laying in. And, well, first Jesus went to the mother and he told her not to cry. And then he proceeded and touched this frame that was carrying the casket. And he told, so that they could hear, He said that, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And this body that was dead rose up, was made alive, and he was delivered. Jesus brought him to his mother. When we think of this picture of someone who had died, and especially in our time, there are many that are traveling who are spiritually dead. They are not living according to the teaching of the Word of God. That is the condition of most people in our time. They are traveling on a way that will lead to eternal death. The Word of God has not stopped them on their road, the way of unbelief. But the pleasures of their flesh, maybe their mind, the love of the world, whatever it is, it has prevented them from believing. God and the Spirit of God, as our text shows, it has power. It can awaken one from spiritual death and be made again alive. I think that is what this text wants to bring forth, that God and the Spirit of God, through the children of God today, we can preach the forgiveness of sins, and God awakens them into a child of God from the darkness of unbelief. If they desire to humble themselves and desire to believe according to the Word of God. Throughout time, there are those who have been children of God and have left God's kingdom. There may be some here who have once been believing from childhood and have gone the way of prodigal son and daughter and has received the grace of returning into the kingdom of God once again. But in each instance, they have left, they have been separated from the flock of believers through unforgiven sin. And deceiving doctrine is now ruling in their hearts. The voice of the Good Shepherd, the voice of Jesus, it's been quieted, and they no longer hear what is according to the Word of God. And this voice has been quieted. Sometimes their reason has come in the way of believing. Sometimes it is their desires, what their flesh and blood is desiring. Sometimes it is vanity that is preventing them to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Whatever it is, they have lost their guide. And they have gone astray. And God has separated them from the flock of believers. And we have noticed that the voice, the Holy Spirit that is speaking through their congregation, home congregation, believing congregations, it is no longer regarded as the Spirit of God or the voice of God. This, when we see this happen, it, of course, it brings sorrow to us. It brings sorrow to us when we hear that they don't want to believe what that voice is speaking to them. The book of Revelations remind us that he that hath an ear to listen what the Spirit saith unto the congregation. We are all individual people. We have our own desires. We have our own minds. Some are stronger than others. But pray unto God that you would never grow. That we would never grow within ourselves to be so big and so strong that we would depend on our own understanding, but that we would always have this, I guess you could say, a soft spot for the voice that rises from the congregation, that we can humble ourselves and put our own opinions aside and listen and heed to the voice that rises from the congregation. It is always the safest way to travel. The most safest way to travel is to listen and to heed to the teaching of the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. Those that are battling within themselves, those that are trying to stretch the borders of God's kingdom, It is with sorrow that we see this happening. And this is not unique for today, for the time that we live in. It has always been this way. But dear brothers and dear sisters, let us not be so weary of that sorrow and those doubts that arise, and from that grief, that it would make our journey slow. Let us never get bogged down to such degree that we don't remember how fortunate we are ourselves to be children of God today. That is the greatest reason for joy, regardless of our doubts and our sorrows, is that we are children of God today. But also remember to pray on behalf of yourself and those who are struggling, and those who have lost their way. Pray on to God that He would lead them back into God's kingdom. But our greatest joy, our greatest reason for joy, is that we personally are children of God today. This means that we have hope of eternal life with God, with our fellow believers. One day we will all be united in heaven. But our faith is so weak, many times we doubt. Dear brother and dear sister, take comfort and believe, even this morning, that all your doubts, all your sins that you have committed, they are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. All your sins are forgiven. They have been forgiven all the way from heaven. And today we will partake in the Lord's Holy Supper, communion, by coming to communion. We are not made believers. Otherwise, it would become, we are attempting to become believers by our works only. We participate and want to come to communion because it strengthens our weak faith. And today we have these young boys and these young girls that are coming to communion in their home congregation for the first time since they were confirmed. Come boldly and strengthen your weak faith, and you can also believe your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. Can I also, dear brothers and sisters, believe my many sins and doubts forgiven. In Jesus' name, Amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.